This is Native America Calling. I'm Sean Spruce. Starting healthy habits at an early age is one way to instill lifelong wellness practices. And young people committed to healthy living provide an inspiration for those around them. Coming up this hour, we'll hear about the importance of promoting healthy behaviors, eating and exercise among young Native people, and how some efforts utilize that energy to improve health outcomes on a broader scale. We're back right after the news.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. Indigenous people in Albuquerque, New Mexico, celebrated the resilience of their people, reflected on their history while embracing their cultures, languages, and traditions on Indigenous Peoples Day. An event downtown on Civic Plaza also marked the day by raising awareness of missing and murdered relatives. Sisters Rianne and Michelle McCarthy colored in images they created on a chalk mural on the plaza to honor missing and murdered Indigenous women and girls.
I'm drawing the Navajo basket designs.
I'm drawing feathers. I just like feathers, and you see them everywhere. It represents the animals. Our animals are sacred to us.
The sisters say they'd like to see the same type of attention and urgency given to missing and murdered Indigenous people that's shown to non-natives. Michelle says, like the case of Gabby Petito, the young white woman whose disappearance and death in Wyoming continues to make national headlines.
We just don't have a number for those people that are missing, especially with what happened with Gabby, who was a white woman that was found in the Grand Tetons. We would like that for our missing sisters to be brought home or found for justice.
While the sisters worked on the mural, organizers of the event prepared a stage nearby for speakers, which included politicians delivering remarks. Albuquerque Mayor Tim Keller.
But I know that we must take every opportunity to raise awareness and push investigations of every person who goes missing, no matter where they're from.
Advocate Jolene Holgate with Missing and Murdered Dene Relatives handed out stickers, bandanas, and buttons at a table near the stage. The table was covered with missing persons flyers, some dating back to the 1950s. Holgate says while it's a positive step for the city to acknowledge the issue, she'd like to see permanent action put in place.
But it's also important that we continue to critique and be critical of these systems that ultimately have employ law enforcement, employ social services, employ all these different types of programs that should be supporting community.
The event on Civic Plaza also included a march and film screening. It was a different scene less than 2 miles away in Old Town, where members of the Red Nation and a coalition of Native and non-Native organizations marched through the streets of the popular tourist area. Demetrius Johnson is a member of the Red Nation.
You know, the chants that have been going on is land back. Talking about land back and like what that actually means. It just means allowing Indigenous people to live off the land like they used to connect to the land. We are land-based people. And right now, like, there's people out there like Bill Gates that own more land than most reservations. Talking about land back, talking about missing and murdered Indigenous women, talking about resource extraction. There's a lot of things still happening to Indigenous people, not just here within the continental U.S., but, you know, globally too.
The march ended at a nearby park with a rally, which included a drum group, a jingle dress dancer, and speakers. Vice President Kamala Harris, federal officials, and U.S. lawmakers are among speakers this week at the National Congress of American Indians Annual Convention. The gathering is taking place virtually. Tribal leaders will address top issues facing Indian country. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced by Kawanak Broadcast Corporation with funding by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.
Support by the Center for Indigenous Cancer Research at Roswell Park Comprehensive Cancer Center, dedicated to cancer research, medicine, and cancer care for Indigenous population. A no-charge online risk assessment tool is available at roswellpark.org/assessme. Support by AARP. The Native Urban Elder Needs Assessment Survey will provide data to improve urban Indian elder health equity. Elders are underrepresented in data, and you can help. Info and survey at uiacoalition.org.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.
This is Native America Calling. I'm Sean Spruce. If given the chance and freedom to blaze their own paths, young people are capable of extraordinary accomplishments. This is a driving theme of the Native Health Initiative, a program designed to address health inequity. Those involved in the project created a video expressing what they have to offer, if others will listen.
Young people like me have a lot to offer if you would just listen.
Young people have answers if you would just listen.
Young people like me have ideas for undoing racism if you would just listen.
Young people like me see ways to achieve health equity if you would just listen.
Are you listening?
Empathy. Understand that we all come from unique and different backgrounds and that we should treat each other accordingly.
Create access to health and quality health care no matter race, income, sexual orientation, or religion.
Lower the price of healthy food so people can take care of their bodies.
We are all one from Mother Earth. We must take care of her and all of her children.
Realize that humans aren't standardized, and our education system should reflect that.
Acknowledge, don't ignore, historical trauma and privilege, and work to create an even playing field.
Make neighborhoods safer so people can exercise.
There is no such thing as colorblind. See color and accept people for who they are.
We hope you heard us, but our actions speak as well. When given the opportunity, the youth can do amazing things.
I raise money and planned a kids zone for NHI's Gratitude Run. I'm in middle school.
This summer I organized an event called Footsteps for Families to raise money for low-income families struggling during the pandemic. We managed to raise a few $1,000 in school supplies, all of this while still in college.
While still in high school, I helped lead NHI's running medicine program. I wanted to teach the youth holistic wellness through running.
I am leading a program for a nonprofit organization, NHI's Healers of Tomorrow program. I also organized a PPE drive for my Zia Pueblo community. And another effort to get all 300 youth in my tribe educational kits in the summer during the COVID-19 lockdown. I am a senior in high school.
Start with yourselves and your friends. Keep one another accountable about what you do and say about others, even if society might view them as different.
Decolonize and localize our food system.
Don't minimize racism. Accept it and do your part to reverse it.
Support us and trust us to lead the way.
This is our focus for today's conversation. Fostering and supporting Native youth as leaders in healing and health advocacy. A synergy of youth-driven creativity and energy to promote better outcomes for Native health. Please join our conversation. What advice can you offer to inspired young people eager to make positive change in their communities? And as an adult, how do you support Native youth and the advocacy work they're passionate about? Join our discussion today by calling 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. Joining us in our studio today in Albuquerque are Dr. Anthony Flagg, Cami Riley, and Alicia Gallegos. Dr. Flagg is a physician with the University of New Mexico and co-founder of the Native Health Initiative. Welcome back to Native America Calling, Anthony.
It's great to be back.
Cami is a high school senior at Del Norte High School and a member of the Native Health Initiative. She's Laguna Pueblo. Welcome to Native America Calling, Cami.
Good morning.
And Alicia is a third-year student at the University of New Mexico, majoring in Family and Child Studies and double minoring in Native American Studies and Psychology. She is Acoma and Laguna Pueblo, Chicana, and Diné. Welcome to Native America Calling, Alicia.
Hi, good morning.
I'd like to begin our conversation today talking to Anthony and asking him a burning question I have. Anthony, why is it important that we engage with Native youth as leaders on Native health issues?
It's a great burning question, and it's still a question I try to answer and figure out answers to. I think the real crux of it is that our youth have a unique perspective and insight and creativity into the kind of issues that are particularly affecting young people, that a group of, say, tribal elders, tribal leadership, school educators, if there aren't youth at that table in that room, they might have a lot of wisdom and knowledge, but they might lack some of the key things that young people are seeing as potential ways out. And even included in that, ways out that for instance, I've seen conversations where young people were asking their tribe to really respect indigenous ways that things like the water beneath the ground is not ours to own, and why are you selling it? And in that particular conversation, you know, they were being chastised for not speaking their language, but here they were really espousing a very core, belief in indigenous values that was almost being threatened by, you know, something that was used against them. They but why aren't you speaking to us in our language? I think young people have really, some answers that if us adults are willing to let go and let them help lead and truly lead, not token leadership, but really reins off and let the young people tell us where they think this needs to go, beautiful and amazing things happen.
What challenges do we create for ourselves when we separate young people from important work like this with regard to Native health?
I think one challenge is that we lose a really chance, a great chance to empower them. A group of youth about 10 years back came to NHI and wanted to apply for one of our youth-led grants. And in essence, what they said is our tribal leadership says that youth are the future, but we don't really see our voice being listened to. We don't see even a place or an interest in us being listened to. And so these young people with real potential for being change agents, if they're shut down and shut out, I think they look for other ways to get attention. And sometimes that could be negative sources of attention. But more importantly, I think just losing the chance to really empower them and see what young people can do. I'll give you a real short example. We had a school here in Albuquerque. The school is a Native American school that was struggling with the issue of gang-related vandalism in their school's bathrooms. And so I imagine if the parents or the PTA or the teachers had gotten in a room and said, what are we going to do? You know, answers like lock the bathrooms, have a teacher at all times guarding the bathrooms would have been the answers, Sean. And instead, a group of young people huddled. These were not star students. These were students who in some ways got more attention for being in the principal's office, you know, but they were artists and they were particularly really good with graffiti art. And they understood that if we put up graffiti art in the school's bathrooms, number one, because it's youth led, I think our peers will respect it. There's also this interesting thing that no adult, you know, group probably would have understood, that graffiti art, just understanding is you never touch someone else's graffiti once it's written. So the answer to this vexing problem, vandalism in the bathrooms, was a group of middle and high schoolers getting out spray paint and spray painting some of the school's core values, respect and honoring each other in the bathrooms. And that was for until the school moved, that these bathrooms were pristine. There was no need for kind of a criminalized approach. There was no need for guards or locks on the school's bathrooms. So imagine, as you're listening to that in your community, the issues that you know no one has figured out an answer to, and maybe young people being at the table is where the answer lies.
Well, let's hear from one of our aspiring youth leaders. Cammie, how did you get involved with the Native Health Initiative?
I got involved with NHI, I believe, 2 summers ago, where I participated in a summer camp they held. And followed by that, I think I joined into their Healers of Tomorrow program. And after that, I just kind of made my way through NHI and tried my best to help out in any way I can.
Now, you are a high school student. Is this part of a school program, or are you doing this independently?
This is separate from school, so independently.
So you're a volunteer then?
Yeah.
Well, congratulations for your involvement. Alicia, how about you? When did you get involved with the program?
So I started just this year at the beginning, around, I think it was May. I saw a post on social media saying that NHI had partnered with an art organization, I guess, and they were looking for volunteers to put up a mural here in downtown Albuquerque. And I was like, oh my gosh, I gotta get involved with that. I love art. I love doing murals ever since I got exposed to that kind of work. So I took up that opportunity to get involved with NHI through art. And although it only lasted a couple of days, through those couple of days, I got to really know what kind of work NHI did and their values and kind of mission, I guess. And it really intrigued me, like that's the kind of work I wanted to do. So soon enough, the following summer, I became a youth leader and helped co-direct a mental and behavioral health film and also coordinate the health, what was it? The summer camp? I can't remember the exact name of it, but our youth summer camp.
Okay. Well, Lisa, congratulations to you as well for your leadership. We're going to have to take a short break right now, but we'll be right back. You're listening to Native America Calling. I'm your host, Sean Spruce.
The album, Heartbroken Bones, is Alani's gift to the world, and it's full of youthful energy. Here's some of it.
Hold on, is there something on your mind that she needs to get out?
I'm Tara Gatewood, and we'll visit with this young creative from Santa Clara, Pueblo, on Native America Calling's October Music Maker.
Our ancestors and elders taught us how to live in balance and care for all living beings. They cared for us, so now we care for them. Caregivers, it's time to take care of you. It's okay to take a break. It's okay to ask for help. Remember, you're not alone. Connected together, we'll stand strong. More on elder isolation and caregiver resources at connectedindigenouselders.org. The National Indian Council on Aging supports this show.
You're listening to Native America Calling. I'm Sean Spruce. We're talking about nurturing youth leadership and community health. How have young people in your community made a positive impact? Have they made a difference during the pandemic? Join our conversation by calling 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. Today, we're talking with Dr. Anthony Flagg, Cammie Riley, and Alicia Gallegos. And before we went on break, Alicia was sharing some details about the Native Health Initiative and some of the projects that she's been involved with. And Alicia, I want to follow up and ask you, how does it feel so often when we think of youth involved with health, we think of them as targets of health intervention, but you're in a role now where you're actually being asked to contribute your insights, your abilities, your ideas to help create health interventions. How does that make you feel?
I mean, it feels great to have like this role in being able to contribute to our, you know, goals of helping youth, because, you know, I am a youth and I can kind of provide that insight of what I would want to see in terms of the kind of care or resources I want provided. And so, yeah, I'm really humbled to be in this role because, you know, being a youth, I definitely would see how I would, I'm sorry, but yeah, I really am humbled to be in this role because it's so important to have our youth in this type of position because, like mentioned before, we have ideas for what can be done and people, we deserve to be heard.
Absolutely. Cami, you're part of a program called Healers of Tomorrow. Can you tell our listeners more about that?
Yeah, so the Healers of Tomorrow program is kind of more into healthcare professions, and it kind of helps high school students or even younger adults or, yeah, kind of seek into what they want to do in their future, whether they want to become anything that's considered in the healthcare field, or, yeah, just kind of prepares them for college or their studying, like their majors, anything related to healthcare.
Yeah. Now, you want to go into healthcare yourself. What field of health would you like to work in?
Pediatrics.
Awesome. Really happy to hear that. Dr. Flagg, so often in these types of conversations, we hear two terms. We hear the term at-risk youth, and then we hear the term youth leaders. I want to ask you, what is the ratio in the Native Health Initiative with regard to these two terms? How often are they used in relation to one another?
Sean, that's a great question. I think our answer as an organization that really follows the youth leader mindset and actually explicitly asked people that we work with and train to eliminate at-risk youth or at-risk anybody, at-risk elders for that matter, from their vocabulary, because it sets such a different paradigm. I think even without words being spoken, all of us know when someone is treating us as being at risk for something, a chronic disease, addiction, dropping out of high school, versus they see us as leaders. So if I am asked, as I am occasionally, to go in and work with some of our Indigenous youth in the correction system, I go into that setting, as much as there is a stigma and going through all the gated doors, I know that I'm going to see youth leaders. I know I'm going to see youth leaders who haven't been given probably the right opportunities to show what they're really good at. But in my mind, I'm not going to see incarcerated youth or at-risk youth. I'm going to see young people that are going to teach me something if I'm open to it. And I think that's a really important distinction. Real quickly, if I just go back to Cami, she's being really humble. As many of our Native youth are, they don't shout out all the great things that they do in the way that maybe the non-Native world does. So she is a high school senior, Sean, who is actually leading a program for a nonprofit organization. She's leading the program. She's organizing and doing hard, you know, work behind the scenes, budget decisions, and making sure that, you know, each month's programming is really top notch and really youth oriented, because she's a voice more than, say, someone even in graduate school, as one of her co-leaders, that she understands uniquely what maybe is going to work with high schoolers and what's not going to work. So as a high school senior, she's leading the program that as a junior she was a part of. And if we saw if NHI, for instance, saw the Healers of Tomorrow as this is a program for at-risk youth, i.e. Native American youth, we would never think then to elevate young people. We would see them just from that kind of deficit lens, and we would miss the strength, we'd miss the leadership that Cami and others have shown us, that why not? Let's make them, they've graduated from the program, let's make them a full-fledged, not on the side, you know, but a full-fledged leader in the program that they were just a part of.
Well, Cami, you are being modest today, and Dr. Flegg has exposed you. You're busted. So I want some more information regarding, wow, it sounds like you are really, really heavily involved. You're doing administrative duties. You've got some managerial tasks. You're really into this program in a big way. So I want to ask you, you know, as a young person, as a Native youth, working with older folks, middle-aged folks, elders, I imagine, in some cases, what do you think is the biggest disconnect between young people like yourself and older people like myself and Dr. Flegg?
I feel like the biggest disconnect between youth and adults is probably the way that we interpret ideas. And I feel like, speaking of ideas, like, it kind of just like has a change between what you think and what adults think. And I feel like that can go both ways, because adults seem to think that, oh, there's a certain way that this has to be. But also, like, youth want to change that way and kind of just want to bring a different perspective towards adults and, like, bring a different voice in.
Alicia, earlier I used the term at-risk youth. What do you think when you hear that term? What does it mean to you?
Well, it definitely has like a negative connotation to it. I feel like if that term's being used for me, at-risk youth, then it kind of tells me that, you know, I'm nothing else except for an at-risk youth. When in reality, I have so much more to offer, and so do all my other Indigenous relatives who fall victim to this term that's very, I think, malicious, because it like I said, it leaves no room for us to be called a leader, for us to be seen as future elders, people who hold wisdom and have new ideas to bring to the table. I see youth doing incredible things around me, and it really inspires me. And to, if I were to hear them or view them as like at risk, I'm like, that's not right. Like, that's not true. And yeah, because just yesterday with our Indigenous Peoples Day, there were so many events taking place, all planned by youth. And yeah, some really incredible things happened. I heard some amazing words from my peers and the other youth leaders I work with. It's just really amazing what we can do. And that's why I really like that Native Health Initiative like eliminates that term from our jargon, I guess. I really love our strength-based approach when trying to you know, not only like bring help to communities, but also uplift youth.
Let's go to the phones. We have a caller listening on KUNM in Albuquerque, New Mexico, Alicia. Alicia, you're on the air.
Hi, good morning. I have a question for Cami and Alicia. I come from Crown Point, New Mexico. It's very considered rural part of the Navajo Nation. So there's not a lot of resources, of course, that Albuquerque holds. So what ideas do you guys have to inspire Native youth in rural areas that lack these resources, that lack the access to cool organizations and cool programs that you guys spoke of today?
I would say...
Go ahead.
Okay. To the youth in rural areas, you know, there are opportunities out there for you, even if you start small, like I know someone from Tohatchi, New Mexico, which is also on the Navajo reservation. And, you know, maybe they don't have, like, access to some of these programs out here in the city, but, you know, they help out in different ways their community. They haul wood for their communities, or they teach their family what they learn here when they come to school in the at the university. But yeah, even if it seems like there's not access to these types of programs, I would say keep an eye out for what's happening in your schools, and try and participate in as much as you can, so that when you do become of age to attend a university or get a job, like, you have some type of, you know, you've made some effort before then to contribute to your community and be an active member of it.
Alicia, you're involved with mental health issues, and you worked on this video that focuses on that. Can you tell us more about that?
So yeah, this past summer, Cami was also a part of this video project. We were asked to create a mental and behavioral health video for a youth summit. So our target, of course, was youth originally. And, you know, right away they told, like, well, Shannon Flegg was the one who kind of gave this project to us. She said, this is going to be for youth, and it's going to be about mental and behavioral health. But of course, we're going to be taking a strength-based approach. And we want this video to not only bring awareness, but we want it to provide resources and take a destigmatized approach to it. And so, like, that was kind of all she said. And she's like, okay, you guys go do this video. So we took on this video, and we came together, about 4 or 5 of us. We sat down with each other, and we had only known each other for about, what, like a week or two? Yeah. And then here we are talking about such a deep topic, such as mental health. But I saw it as an opportunity to really get to know each other on a different level, especially because mental and behavioral health is so stigmatized. It's like, no, you don't talk about this with other, like, you don't talk about this in public or with strangers, you know? It kind of seems like you don't really even get to talk about it with family members. But here we are, a couple of youth, a few youth who just known each other, talking about our mental health journey through the pandemic, which impacted all of us in different ways. And I'm really glad I got this opportunity to share our stories in a way that was artistic and as well as, like, meaningful, because it was directed and filmed and scripted by youth ourselves. And so, yeah, it was a really nice video, and we're going to be showcasing it at the American Public Health Association conference here this month.
Well, it sounds like it was trial under fire for both of you. Cami, I was looking at a few of your materials from the Native Health Initiative before the show, and I noticed one of the flyers listed a secret recipe for youth leadership. Can you tell us, what is that secret recipe you folks have?
Probably, I would say we would advocate our voices, and I feel like we like have a strong foundation of what we want from, like, whatever we are creating, and I feel
Sure. Well, you know, it's interesting because when we talk about healthcare and health professionals, we think of people that spend a lot of time in school, a lot of education is involved, you know, experts, right? We hear that term expert all the time, doctors and nurses and various healthcare providers. Do you feel that you, as a Native youth person, are an expert in your own experience? And if so, how is that reflected in all of this great work that you're doing?
Well, I wouldn't consider myself an expert because, like they say, like, yeah, we do all make mistakes. And I feel like I am learning along the way. And like just taking on tasks, I feel like it's getting me more involved within like communities around me or even people that are Native American or even like just different like groups of people. And I think that like, yeah, it is a good way to like express myself too and my own ideas.
Okay. We just had a listener who called in. They don't want to be on the radio, but they told us that we have to make room for Native youth who want to come home from the city. So we're going to take a break here in just a short minute, but I'd like us to think a little bit more about that and what it means. What are some things tribal community leaders can make room for so youth can come home from school and share some of this knowledge and information? This is Native America Calling. We'd love to hear from you today. Call in at 1-800-996-2848. You can also reach out on Facebook at Native America Calling or on Twitter at 1-800-99-NATIVE. This is Sean Spruce. We'll be right back. Thank you for tuning in to Native America Calling. I'm Sean Spruce. We're focusing on the power of youth leadership and advocacy to create healthy communities and asking the question, what does it take to overcome barriers created by age differences? There's still time to join the conversation. Call 1-800-996-2848. We're going to continue our conversation with Anthony, Cammy, and Alicia. Anthony, I'm really inspired by listening to Cammy and Alicia share their experiences, share their wisdom, talking about these great programs, all the work that they're doing. Can you remember when you were at this stage of life, and how do you incorporate some of that experience into the work you're doing now with these kids?
Sean, I am inspired just like you. It doesn't wear off on me, and I think it's what always gives me the right answer and our organization as a whole the right answer of, you know, where next can we find great places for young people to lead. And man, I'm pretty old here, Sean. I that's hard to it's a great question to go back way back, as they say. I heard recently that the songs I used to listen to are now called oldies by Cammy and Alicia's generation, which really I take offense to. I guess I will just say that some of the opportunities, going to that first caller, were not necessarily presented to me as, Anthony, here's a way to be a young leader, but more I followed volunteering kind of opportunities that gave me as a young person a sense that even at a really one-on-one level, working with summer camps for youth with disabilities, you know, that I could make a difference and that I had something to give to the world. And I think that then translates. I'll tell you a translation of that. Like Alicia said, one of our secret sauces is we don't give recipes for, you know, like they're used to getting in their university and high school environments. Here's exactly what we want you to do. We try to leave that freedom And that really speaks to, I mean, yes, initially when young people first intersect with NHI, they kind of look at us like, wait, you're not giving us enough guidance. But they really then, once they take a deep breath, realize that what we're saying is we trust you to make this youth video on mental health for Indigenous youth during COVID. We trust you to lead this program. We're not going to micromanage you. And I think it's a real simple tool that us adults can take away from this conversation is trying to leave that creativity and not put a bunch of restrictions on. We want you to do it this way. We want it to look and sound this way, but more, here's the topic. Here's the idea. Why don't you and some other young people in our community, whether it's rural or urban, make something great happen? But the example I was going to give, I told Alicia, I said, we're going to speak to some physicians in training, and you're going to be my co-presenter. And she looked at me with a, what are you talking about? I'm an undergrad student. I'm younger. I'm not going into medicine. What are you talking about? So the training was really on strength-based approaches to health instead of the typical deficit, disease, addiction-oriented. And what Alicia was able to share from an Indigenous perspective was so much more important than any words that I had in our co-teaching together. And what was really beautiful at the end of our talk, not only could you tell that the students really just needed to hear and appreciate what Alicia said, but she told me right after the presentation that it felt really validating for her. It felt like, wow, you know, someone, I walk this world in a university where I have to in some ways kind of walk in two worlds, and in some ways almost I'm told put away my Indigenous self so that I can excel in the classroom. But here I was being given a chance to validate who I am as an Indigenous woman. What, just who I am, not my educational status, was enough to be of value and to teach people much older and much more educated than me.
Well, Anthony, earlier you mentioned you, like myself, were becoming more and more age affluent every year. And I remember when I first, when I officially knew I was age affluent, I was working with a group of Native youth in the show Happy Days. That show Happy Days, people started talking about that show Happy Days for some reason. I can't remember exactly what it was. But the kids I was with, they all thought Happy Days was actually a show from the 1950s. They didn't realize that it was actually a show from the 70s. It was a retro look at the 50s. And that was the day I knew, holy cow, I am becoming very, very out of touch. So I want to ask either one of the girls, Cammy or Alicia, whichever one of you is comfortable with this question, but Dr. Flagg just mentioned this whole idea of them, of the adults trusting you in these programs and giving you freedom to do these projects and create some of these programs. How important is that to you, to have that trust and for the adults to just let you realize your own vision? Can you explain that?
Yeah, I think that trust is very important. Like thinking about the mental health video in particular, I feel like if we would have gotten like something like, okay, here are some talking points you should hit, make sure to include this and oh, do that. I feel like if that would have been the approach, then there would have been some, you know, like monitoring of what we would say, a little bit of like making sure we don't say the wrong thing or don't bring up something that we shouldn't be like. We would have definitely had, I feel like that would have made us monitor what we would say and not let us be our true selves and express ourselves in the way we did. And so I think that trust let us excel in a way where we would be able to be authentic when talking about mental and behavioral health, and let us be creative in the way we put that all together. And so, yeah, I think that trust needs to be in various other places, like in schools, in the classroom, especially starting at a young age. Because like I said, I was just so used to being like handed a worksheet and a rubric and being like, here are your guidelines. So I was like, oh my gosh, what do I do? But, you know, we definitely need to have that kind of, or adults need to have that kind of trust in our youth starting at a young age.
So about how many other young people are involved in the Native Health Initiative besides yourselves?
Four? 40. There's 40 of us.
40. Great, great. And how do you all interact with one? I mean, do you guys, I mean, like, just kind of describe how you collaborate, how you put your programs together, these projects, and how do you all connect with each other?
I feel like that we all kind of just plan, like, ourselves. Like, we all plan and get together, like, what are we going to do? Like, how are we going to do this? And, like, we kind of just go based, like, off of, like, the future reference, I guess. And I feel like when we get together, I feel like everyone has like similar ideas, or everyone is just like expressing their own ideas or their like, yeah, their own voice. And like, I feel like it's great in a way.
Mm-hmm. Like, well, what are some, I'm sorry, go ahead and finish that thought.
I was just gonna say, like when we collaborate with each other, there's a lot of like bouncing off each other, since we all have unique experiences and different backgrounds. We all bring something unique to the table and just bounce ideas off each other.
So tell me a little bit about what you have coming up. Do you have any cool new ideas or projects that you're working on? Can you give us any hints at what's to come?
What's new? Well, currently we're working towards our biggest fundraiser of the year with NHI, which is the Gratitude Run. Happens on the quotes Thanksgiving holiday. so we're working on our biggest fundraiser of the year, where we all come together as a community and just run with gratitude, as that's what it's called. Gratitude run, walk, slash bike. So we're all coming together as a community to be with each other in good spirits and just celebrate that morning with each other and express gratitude for whatever it is we have gratitude for in our lives.
How can other young people learn more about what you're doing or get involved with the Native Health Initiative? Where can they go?
Yeah, we have a lot of opportunities for youth to get involved with the Native Health Initiative. We are on social media, on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter, I think. And we also have a website, www.lovingservice.us. We have various volunteer opportunities, internship opportunities, as well as like you can be a staff with us. It's just a matter of like making a connection with us. Even if we do runs with our program Running Medicine weekly, even if you just come run with us, you can come connect with us and be like, hey, I'm interested in going into this profession. Where do you think I should? Or what program do you think would be a good fit for me? And we can definitely make those connections with you and for you.
Alicia, about how many hours a week would you say that you spend with working on these projects through Native Health Initiative? Because you've got a full load of courses. You're a full-time student at UNM. How do you balance everything?
Yeah, I'm still working on the balance. Because I'm also involved with various other organizations on campus. Not just my schoolwork, but with NHI, I would say I dedicate about, I'm going to estimate 10 hours a week.
Okay, you're busy. Anthony, what are some ways that adults can make young people more involved? What can we do to support these types of programs and these kinds of initiatives with Native Youth and Health?
I will try to give a kind of succinct recipe for success. Number one, get out of the way, get off the stage, go, you know, figure out how you can make space for young people to do amazing things and show you really what they're capable of. And that, Sean, is, it's a really easy thing to say. It's not very easy to do. It's not super easy with notions of, you know, children are to be seen, not heard, and all the other ways that we, even in traditional values that, you know, young people are supposed to sit and be quiet and listen from older generations. It's really hard to get ourselves out of the way. Get yourself out of the way. Let young people lead. Give them space to really have that freedom to create great things. I have never, in 20 years of doing this work, I have never been disappointed when I've gotten out of the way and gotten other adults to move aside. I've never been disappointed in what young people produced. The few failures, I would say, are places where young people didn't really feel like they had ownership. They were given a task. They were being micromanaged, and maybe myself or others involved really didn't. We weren't truly letting go. We were kind of, hey, you can do it, but we're still holding on and censoring what you say and what you do. And going back to that earlier point, you know, just trying to think about if you, I'll give the listeners just a real quick thought. You're creating a group that's going to work on the issue of high school dropout in Maine, in Alaska, wherever your indigenous community is. Who's at the table? And for most people, they're going to immediately think of, you know, the school principals, the tribal leadership, some elders. If we do think of youth, the youth that might be usually invited would be, you know, the star students, the valedictorian kind of students. I would argue that the most important voice at that table are students who have dropped out of high school. From a strength-based perspective, they aren't a stigma. They have the unique ability to teach us, why did school not work for them? And that's really hard. You might even, Sean, if you were making that committee, you might get a lot of pushback. What do you mean? You can't invite these youth who dropped out to our committee. That's going to look really bad if, you know, they're part of, but no, that they have the unique perspective of why school didn't work and how we could fix it so that school could work better for people like them. And so you really have to dig deep in your heart and let go of any sort of notions of stigma and again, that idea of at-risk youth and wow, some beautiful things start to happen when you get to that place as an adult ally to our young leaders.
We're just about ready to wrap up the show, but I want to ask Cammie quickly. Cammie, pretend that you have a crystal ball and we go 20 years in the future. And I want you just to think, imagine yourself in 20 years. What would you like to be the impact of this program and your involvement with the Native Health Initiative? What would you like it to do for you in your life?
I feel like I would like NHI to possibly help me or encourage me to still be in the School of Medicine or help pursue me into the career that I choose, which is pediatrics. And I feel like if I'm still continuing to be in NHI, I feel that I would be considered a great leader because of all the work that I seem to help produce or even like help create in the future, like with other peers, including Alicia as well.
Well, folks, we've reached the end of the hour. I'd like to say thank you to our guests, Dr. Anthony Flegg, and our Native Health Youth leaders, Cammie Riley and Alicia Gallegos. Join us again tomorrow for our latest installment of Music Maker, an ongoing special feature. We'll have Eilani on the show to talk about her new album, Heartbroken Bones. I'm Sean Spruce.
Thank you. Program support is by Montana State University in Bozeman, home to MSU's Native American Studies Department and over 750 Native students from 35 states. MSU is proud to announce the October 16th grand opening of its new American Indian Hall, a project over 15 years in the making. American Indian Hall, a crossroads of culture and student support. Montana.edu/AIH.
Support by Roswell Park, who know tribal communities face persistent challenges in health equity, such as cancer and higher death rates. The Center for Indigenous Cancer Research at Roswell Park Comprehensive Cancer Center is dedicated to advancing cancer research that will lead to translatable science, medicine, and cancer care for Indigenous populations worldwide. Are you at high risk for cancer? A no-charge online assessment tool is available at roswellpark.org/assessme.
Native America Calling is produced in the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico, by Kwanic Broadcast Corporation, a Native nonprofit media organization. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, with support from the Public Radio Satellite Service. Music is by Brent Michael Davis. Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.